beginning with verse 38. This is a pretty familiar story. A little sideline here about Jesus as he's in his ministry during his 3.5 years. It says, now it came to pass in verse 38, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now these are the sisters of Lazarus. They live in Bethany. So how do you know that? I read the Bible. So here Jesus enters their house. Here's Martha. It says, received him into her house, and her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father, bless this lesson tonight. Lord, you led me to it. I believe it's what you want tonight. And I pray that you use it to help us, teach us, convict us. Just do your work in our hearts through your word. You promised your word would not return unto you void. And we just ask you to use your word on us tonight and in us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a lesson I've taken from Pastor Paul Chappell's series on victory in Jesus. And it's a victory over stress. Now, I'm sure nobody in here has ever stressed. But we're going to look at having victory over stress tonight. I put this one up. If you can't read it, it says, I'm a little stressed right now. Just turn around and leave quietly and nobody gets hurt. You been there? I have. Stress. The fact is, stress is a real part of every one of our lives. We like to be hyper-spiritual and say, I never get stressed. The Bible says we shouldn't lie. Because we do. You know, sometimes we think that somehow we're supposed to be super spiritual and not human. I was talking to Kim Whittlemire the other day about their situation. I was telling her we wouldn't be able to come as much as I wanted to. Rick was my friend. And we were talking about somebody in her family was having trouble dealing with Rick going home. And they were feeling some guilt about grieving when they know he went to heaven. I said, well, you know, Kim, that's a natural thing. It's not wrong to grieve. And I say this at funerals very often. Wouldn't it be terrible for us to pass and nobody grieve over us? It'd mean we meant nothing to anybody. So, you know, we're not supposed to get angry. We're not supposed to be stressed. We're not supposed to worry. I understand all those things, but we do. How many of you in here worry? Uh-huh. We do all kinds of stuff we're not supposed to do. But it's because we're human. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying these are things we have to deal with. Okay, I got stress. What do I do now? How do I handle this stress? I want to look at this example here. But you know, think about this. Stress isn't new to our day. We look at our situations, you know, how busy everybody is and how much pressure is put on people today, blah, 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 blah. Stress is not new to us. Stress was there in Jesus' day. See, that's why we're talking about what we're talking about. Now, the Bible says there's Mary and Martha. And Martha, it says, was cumbered about. That cumbered about literally means to be driven mentally. Now, Martha was a very adept homemaker. No doubt she made her guests feel welcome. Jesus says there that she received him. And I'm taking that to mean she went through the customs of how they received people in that day. And no doubt she could prepare a fantastic meal. Yet Martha was not content with a good meal. Martha was driven to make everything perfect. Jesus says there that she was busy, look at verse 40, with much serving. Today we might call it, she was busy with much multitasking. Seems like Martha always had all these irons in the fire, if you know what I'm talking about. And she's trying to bring all this together and get all this done and have everything just perfect. And here's the long and short of it with Martha. She obviously was a person who planned a day unrealistically in terms of what she wished to accomplish. Boy, did that hit home with me. You know, when you start out a day and you have all these things that you want to accomplish and you come to the end of the day and you only got about half of them done, how do you feel? You feel like a failure. Am I right? Here's my to-do list for today. All right, that's my to-do list, and I'm trying to check it off. But this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And I didn't get all this done. So when I go to bed, I think, man, I messed up today. Somebody say amen. The guilt trip. I've tried in the last few years to just realize at the beginning of the day, I give it to the Lord, and so he's my help. Now, the problem is that when taken to an extreme, being busy and trying to accomplish things can cause you to lose the blessing and fellowship with the Lord. We can get so busy about doing things, even religious things, spiritual things, that we get too busy to sit at Jesus' feet. In the busyness and stress of daily life, we often lose that. You know, I heard a preacher preach a message on this one time, and it's fact. Think about it. I'm not going to preach his message. But here's what he was saying. We're not going to accomplish everything in our day, in our life. Some things are not going to get done. I've just come to realize that. There are some things I'm just not going to get done. The thing we have to do is prioritize so that the most important things get done first. You with me? So that which doesn't get done is not really that important anyway. Without even realizing it, this, or I guess we could call it a Martha syndrome, can take over our lives, this idea of being busy and cumbered about with a lot of different things, to the point we become a detriment to the spirit of our family, our work, and our church. And we can get to the place we're so busy, we're so active, we're so tired, we lose the joy, we lose the victory that we're supposed to have. Stress can get the best of us if we let it. Jesus provides us with a plan to help us to overcome stress. Now, if we want to find that plan, we don't study the life of Martha. She was stressed. We study Mary because she learned the secret of living in peace rather than living under pressure. So we're going to look at Mary. As we look at this, we find, first of all, the pace of Mary. Here's two sisters. But do you get the idea? They don't march to the same drummer. How many of you have siblings? Do you march to the same drummer as your brother or your sister? I have four older brothers and a younger sister. Some ways, some of us are similar, but some are just different. I think Mary and Martha were very different in their personalities, in their activities. Mary's life didn't move at the same speed as Martha's. So here we find a situation. There's guests now have come into the home. And we don't find Mary running around making sure everything's okay, making sure everything's in place, da-da-da. Nope. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus listening as he's teaching. The pace of Mary. Martha. Mary. That old saying, slow and steady wins the race. The tortoise and the hare. Any of you ever hear of Dr. Harold Clayton? Nobody. Preacher from Texas. Tall, gray-haired fella. He looks like an ambassador to someplace. He does. He always wears double-breasted suit. And he has those wire-rimmed glasses. Thin fella. But he has a classic message he preaches, the tortoise and the hare. And it's about steady wins the race. Slow and steady. Well, let's look at what we see here. Notice here we find a restful place for Mary. She's at Jesus' feet. She took time to rest in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Boy, we could just stop right there. Be still and know that I am God. You know, that's one of the hardest things for people today. Just to be still. Have you ever thought about this? It's hard for us. When he's talking about still, he's talking about quiet and just no activity, just focused. How hard is it today to get away from the noise? TV, radio, traffic, horns, sirens. Sometimes I envy yesteryear. Where a lot of people were agricultural, you know, and boy, evening came, they go sit in front of the fire or go sitting on the porch, and it was quiet. Do you know you can hear a lot of things when it's quiet? A lot of things you'll never hear otherwise, especially the voice of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. By the way, America, you better understand that. Amen. You might think you can turn your back on God and spit in his face, but I got news, America. We better get this ship turned around. I don't want to get political, but Hillary ain't going to do it. Amen, preacher. Knowing the nature, character, and greatness of God. You listening? In other words, to really know God requires a stillness and a time of reflection. See, if you really want to know God, it's not going to happen if you say a verse over your Wheaties. It's not going to happen if you read your Bible once in a while. You really want to know God, God says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. Don't raise your hand, but I'm just going to throw this out. You evaluate your own self. But how many of us in this room have a still, quiet time for God in our lives. Someplace where you meet with Him. And you shut out all the distraction. You just talk to Him. Focus on Him for a little while. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I'm all for hard work. My dad taught me and my four brothers how to work. I think that's something missing in our society today. Teaching our young people how to work. I don't mean this. I mean work. Work up a sweat. Get dirty. Pound a nail. Saw a board. Hammer something. Turn a wrench. Amen? I believe that. A lot of value in that. But don't ever forget, Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything. See, there's a time for work. There's a time to wait on the Lord. So here's Mary. She has this resting time, if you will, a renewing time. She put everything on hold. Why? She's going to spend time with Jesus. She wasn't stressed. She wasn't burdened. She wasn't pressured. She found that secret of resting in Him. Now contrast that with her sister. Running around like a chicken with her head cut off. Trying to make sure the pillows are in place and the blankets are good and the water is fresh. Not that there's anything wrong with those things. But again, it's priority. What's most important? Getting alone with Jesus. That's most important. So it's a restful place and it's a renewing place. When we sit and listen to Jesus, it provides spiritual renewal, just like it did for Mary. You know, it's good every once in a while. Get off the treadmill. What do you mean? I shouldn't get on my treadmill? No, that's not what I'm saying. If you get on your treadmill, God bless you. I tried it one time. It was going nowhere, so I gave it up. The treadmill of life. Get out of that squirrel cage. You know, we're like the little rat in the ball. Man, we're going and going nowhere. Sometimes we need to get out of that. Find a place for fellowship with the Lord. And in the Word, if you read the Bible, God brings to us the truth of the necessity of having a place of renewal. And that place is in His presence. Listen, we're not going to have the victory over stress if we don't have a close, regular, intimate relationship with Him through His Word and through prayer. Now, here's a couple of things for you to jot down there. Number one, renew your focus. Renew your focus. Listen, when you're under stress, it's easy to lose your focus. Why? Because all you can think about is everything you're stressed about. And when we get in that position, we forget the most important things. But when we sit at Jesus' feet, now we focus on Him, not what's going on around us. I was looking at John today, and, you know, we're up to chapter 6, and we talked about feeding 5,000, and the next section talks about Peter walking on water. And we all know the story. He stepped out of the boat, he walked on water, as long as he was focused on Jesus. As soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the circumstances, sinks. We need to fix our eyes on Him. And don't ever forget, we have an enemy, and Satan knows that if he can rob us of our focus on Jesus, he can get us off track. Number two, renew your faith. Renew your faith. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Thou shalt walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. So stress comes in our life. What's the first thing we do? Try to handle it ourselves. Isn't it? You say, no, I'm hyper-spiritual. I pray first. Okay. That's a good thing if you can do that. But most believers, when stress comes in their life, immediately try to figure out what they're going to do about it. How are they going to handle it? But you know, sometimes God's plan for us is just to wait on Him. Somebody said this. It doesn't matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies, whether it comes between me and God or whether it presses me nearer to His heart. See, stress. Stress can either drive you away from God or drive you nearer to Him. What makes the difference? How you handle it. When we wait on Him, it builds and restores our faith in Him because it makes us abandon our self-reliance. See, when we get alone with Him and we start talking to Him about the thing, we realize, hey, I may be powerless in this thing and this might be a big problem for me, but it's not for Him. And it brings everything back into real focus. What's important, what isn't? Do you know we get stressed about a lot of things really aren't important? Don't we? Yeah, we get stressed about all kinds of stuff that really, really don't matter. You know, sometimes, I forget what it was we were talking about not too long ago, my wife and I. And I said, you know, hon, it's not going to make any difference in eternity. Whatever it was. You know, if we start thinking like that, it helps us. Hey, this is stressful, but you know, the Bible says this too shall pass. Oftentimes when people are under stress, you know, one of the things they tell you, hey, well, the sun's coming up tomorrow. What am I saying? Well, you know, you got stress, but life's going to go on. World's not going to end. It'll be okay. Just trust the Lord. Now, number three. Renew your fervency. Renew your fervency. Don't look up here. I'm making you do your own work for a change. Now I'll give it to you. Does that help you? Renew your fervency. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Oftentimes I will pray Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O Lord. You know, when David writes that, it's you read that verse and you see a stress-filled life. Somebody that's got trouble and difficulty and stress in their life. Dry and thirsty. I don't know if you've ever felt like you're dry and thirsty in a spiritual sense. I have. I said, Lord, I need a drink. I'm thirsty. I need some quenching. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, we drink from His Word. Our fervency to serve Him is restored. See, the only way you're going to accomplish what God has for you is to find your place at Jesus' feet and get your strength and get your stamina and get your refreshment from Him. Place of Mary. Then we see the place of Mary. We're talking about ancient times. And the posture of disciples and learners, students, in ancient times was to sit at the feet of their teacher. Remember, Paul said over in the book of Acts that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. That means he sat at the feet of the teacher to drink in and take in what was being offered. So here's Mary, and what is she demonstrating? That she's listening, that she's learning, that she's involved and focused. When a person would sit at someone's feet, like Paul described, they were acknowledging that their teacher was superior to them. Did you get that? They're acknowledging the teacher is superior to me. It signified a willingness to learn from the master. Do you have a teachable spirit? You know, if you have the idea you know everything, nobody can ever teach you anything. Right? Now, what would give us the idea we know everything? Pride. Have you ever been around somebody that knows everything? I've been around a few people, seem like they think they know everything. No matter what you bring up, no matter what you talk about, they're an authority. Well, you know, you can't teach somebody anything like that. It's like the fellow who put the encyclopedias in the newspaper for sale. Brand new set of encyclopedias, hardly ever used. Don't need them anymore because my wife knows everything. Listen to me. When you are willing to sit at the feet of someone, what you're saying is, I am humbling myself and admitting this person knows more than I know. And I want to learn from them. That's what Mary was doing. She's humbling herself and saying, I know he has more for me. He knows more than me. I want to learn from him. I'm admitting my need. A lot of times people have a problem with that. It's interesting. People oftentimes will go into a classroom and they want the teacher to teach them. And then they want to argue with the teacher. Now, sometimes he deserves or she deserves to be argued with. But in the normal scope of things, you're there because this person is supposed to know more than you do. You're supposed to learn from them. So if we're going to learn from Jesus, we need to humble ourselves. That's what Mary did. She's acknowledging Jesus as the one who could teach her what she needed to learn. You know, our culture has this idea of pride. Boy, pride is so prevalent in our culture today. The world praises those who are loud and argumentative. And if we're going to find God's grace to deal with stress, we need to be willing to humble ourselves, as Peter said. Humble, therefore, in the sight of God. He said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Do you come to the Lord and say, Lord, teach me? Oh, I don't know how often I've prayed, Lord, I'm dumb as a rock. You don't really say that to God. Yes, I do. Because compared to him, I'm as dumb as a rock. I often remind him, I'm a child. I need you. Left to myself, I'm going to mess things up. I need you. By the way, that is humbling. But it's where we need to be. We cannot find strength and renewal from God unless we're willing to lay down our pride and our self-reliance and humble ourselves. You ever come across a self-made man? How many of you ever came across a self-made man? Well, everything I have, everything I did myself. I think Frank Sinatra sang a song like that, didn't he? I did it my way. Well, guess where Frank Sinatra is? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, it's not an easy thing. Sounds easy. But it's not really an easy thing. Why? Because we have so many other things clamoring. And there's nothing about sitting at the feet of Jesus that's going to us praise from men. You go into work and you start talking to people about, man, I spent some time with the Lord this morning. They're not all going to pat you on the back and say, oh. Huh? No, they're going to start talking bad about you. See, we don't get praise from men for that. Entering into our closets alone to pray in secret, like Matthew 6:6 says, is going to refresh our spirits, but it won't enhance our reputations in the eyes of others. And so we resist the desire to do battle in our own strength, and we humbly acknowledge our need for God's strength. And then we see it was a humble place for her, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then it's an honorable place. Often we're driven to attain the honors and attention of the world, but we neglect the honor of being with Jesus. Listen to what I'm about to say. No one passes out trophies for faithfulness and daily devotions. Do you hear me? Nobody passes out trophies for faithfulness in your Bible reading and your daily prayer time. I don't come around and put a little check on your paper. I don't put a star on your paper because you had your devotions today. That's not what it's all about. You know, it is somewhat of a shame that we give accolades to all kinds of people for all kinds of things when these are the most important things. Back when I was in Bible college and I worked with the youth there in that youth ministry, our youth pastor was talking to me the one time and he said, you know, I'm thinking about having a trophy for soul winning. I said, really? He said, yeah, and something for those who will have their daily devotions. He said, I'm sick and tired of the football players and the basketball players and the cheerleaders in the school. Oh, they get all the accolades, he said, but the spiritual kids get nothing. Well, they didn't get anything from men, but they were way ahead of the basketball players, football players, and cheerleaders. No plaques given out for time spent in prayer. Nobody knows how much time you spend but you and God. By the way, any honor that's going to be given for time in Bible study and prayer is going to be given by Him. But the greatest honor we can have in life is to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. And we have opportunity to do that every day of our lives. And when we'll do that, we're going to find out our stress will diminish because we're looking at it in the light of His greatness, His glory, and His power. Then notice thirdly, the purpose of Mary. Why was Mary sitting at Jesus' feet? Well, she wasn't doing it to look good in the eyes of other people. She wasn't doing it because it was required. Jesus didn't say, hey, you've got to come sit here. She wasn't trying to measure up to someone else's standard. The Bible tells us two primary reasons Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. Number one, there was a spiritual purpose. She wanted to hear his words. She wasn't concerned about what anybody else thought or felt or whatever. She had a need in her heart that could only be cured by spending time with Jesus. She was focused on her spiritual relationship. Listen, when we come to church, that's the kind of attitude we ought to have. Amen. We're not coming to impress people. We're not coming, you know, so people think we're spiritual. We're not coming worried about other people's standards or what they think. We came to hear from Jesus. You know, what's the purpose in going to church if we're not going to hear from Jesus? If we just come to sing and we just come to fellowship and maybe even take an offering, we're nothing but a social club. I've said many times, the most important thing that happens in our church services is the preaching of God's Word. Why? So we can hear from Jesus. Most important thing. Spiritual purpose. It's interesting what Jesus said. Here's Martha serving, but Jesus said, one thing is needful. You know what he's saying? Hey, there's one thing that takes priority. There's one thing that overrides all these others. You come to my feet so you can hear my word. Listen, we can get too busy for God. Yeah, and you know who likes to get us too busy for God? Satan. He can get us so busy doing things, and as I said earlier, it might even be religious things, you know, or church things or whatever. But he does, listen, Satan does not want you sitting at the feet of Jesus and spending time with him in prayer and reading his word every day. He don't want that. And he'll do everything he can to keep you from it. And if keeping you busy doing other things will do it, he'll do it. How many times have I heard somebody come and say, preacher, I've made up my mind. I'm going to have devotions before I leave for work or first thing in the morning every day, blah, 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 blah. Maybe it's a housewife. Maybe it's, you know, somebody working, whatever. And I see him a week or two later and say, how are you making out with that? Oh. You wouldn't believe it, preacher. As soon as I got up, I started, well, the kids got up right away. Blah, 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 blah. Or my husband's schedule changed, or my schedule changed, or you know, the dog got sick, or whatever. And I say, well, I know who's behind that. He don't want you getting up and spending time with the Lord. Now, Mary recognized the power of the Word of God. Somebody said this. I love this. She knew the dishes could wait because her time with Jesus was the number one priority in her life. Yeah. The dishes could wait because something's more important. All right. Let me give you some practical steps to develop a passion for the Word of God to encourage us to read and study Scriptures on a regular basis. Number one, jot these down. I didn't put them up here for you. I put the eternal purpose. We'll get to that in a minute. But number one, I've determined in my heart I'm going to develop a passion for the Word of God, and it's going to encourage me to read and study the Scriptures on a regular basis. Number one, don't miss a single day. Don't miss a day. You know, if you miss a day, it's easy to miss two, three, four. And pretty soon you say, what's the use? I remember a boss I had one time. I was in high school working for a caterer. Worked pretty much on weekends. And the one time I wanted a Saturday off, I think my brother was coming, we were going to go hunting or something. But I asked him, could I have off? He said, why? And I told him, and he said, well, I guess we can arrange that. He said, but, you know, I'd be careful about that taking days off. I said, yeah. He said, you know, when you take one day off, then it's easy to take another one, and another one, and another one. That's the way it is with our Bible reading. Yeah. Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How many of you remember Dr. Gray? He told me he was staying at our house. He said, I've always had a policy since I've been saved. I said, what's that? He said, no breakfast, or no Bible, no breakfast. I said, that's a pretty good policy. If you eat breakfast. What's that mean? It means feeding on the Word of God is going to be just as important to me or more important than feeding on food. If I don't have time to feed on the Word of God, then I don't have time to eat food. So it's prioritizing. Number two, don't miss a day. Number two, pray for understanding of what you need. I want you to be honest with me now. How many of you read stuff in the Bible? You just don't understand sometimes. Okay. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many pray and say, Lord, help me to understand that? Do you realize you have the author of the book right there? He can explain it to you. Many times, you know, I've had things that I, Lord, what's the answer to this? And it might be a couple days later sometimes, when all of a sudden there it is, right from his word. Oh, yeah. Why not see that before? Don't miss a day. Pray for understanding. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Then have a special time for Bible reading and prayer. I put it this way, make an appointment. Have an appointment with God every day. You know, some places you work, every day when you go in, they have a meeting. Before anybody goes to work, they have a meeting. Everybody gets on the same page. Well, before you go out on your world, you ought to have a meeting. You and God. So you can get on his page. You with me? You know, here's where a lot of people fail. They say, I want to read my Bible. But they don't set a time. Well, I'm just going to do it before I go to work. Well, what time? See, set it up like an appointment. Here's when I'm going to do this. Put it in your schedule and keep your schedule. This is when I'm going to do this. This is already set aside time. Don't ask me to do anything else. I'm already committed here. I have an appointment with God. How many of you ever have an appointment with your doctor? Do you keep it? Well, yeah, if I don't, he's going to charge me. But seriously, if we have an appointment with a doctor, a lawyer, or a candlestick maker, you know, oh, I've got to keep this appointment. Make an appointment with God. Then keep it. And then one fellow said that we should rise early to be with the Lord, and I believe that. Through Jesus' ministry, we find oftentimes, Mark says in 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Listen, if Jesus needed to get up early and go pray, don't you think you need to? All right, then the eternal purpose. Mary could not lose the things that she received sitting at the feet of Jesus. Whatever she was getting from Jesus was now going to last forever. That's why Jesus said Mary had chosen the things that shall not be taken away from her. We probably, most people in this room, have an investment of some sort. When we invest, we know there are returns. We're looking for the biggest return on our investment, aren't we? Well, when I spend time with Jesus, I'm investing. I'm investing time, and I want to tell you, if you invest time in being with Jesus, it is going to pay eternal rewards. But see, it takes investment. It takes being willing to put in the time. You know, you have a 401k or an IRA or whatever. That's your investment. But it took you putting money into that in order to get something out of it. And that's how we need to be with this devotional thing with God. You want to walk with Him. You want His power. You want His leadership. You want His blessings. Well, friend, it's not going to happen if you're not getting along with God and sitting at His feet, just like Mary did. Well, there was a missionary to China. His name was Jonathan Goforth. They were in China. They came home for a rest, and they went back. And when they got back to China, they found out everything they owned had been stolen. So Goforth looked at his wife, and this is what he said to her. He said, "Rosalind, they were just things. They were just things." You see, his purpose was eternal rather than temporal. When we look at the things of this world, do you see them as just things? Are they more important than spending time at his feet? Only you can answer that. I know how it is with me. Sit at the feet of Jesus. That's what Mary did. Now, that may have been a picture of you. I hope it helped you. Life is full of stress. I shared with you Sunday the last 2 weeks of my wife and I. Her scare, had to get tests done there. I got sick, ended up at the doctor with an infection. Saturday morning, well, Friday, her Dr. Hamlin was back in the hospital. Of course, he did get out. Saturday morning, my daughter called. Her husband had a wreck with his four-wheeler. Pray for him. He goes tomorrow to the orthopedic people for his shoulder. Thank the Lord it wasn't worse. Got beat up a little bit, dislocated shoulder. A couple hours later, she called me and said, your nephew's wife called. Your brother's in the hospital in bad shape. Then Sunday, I knew this infection wasn't getting better. So Monday I called, wanted to see the doctor as soon as I could. They said, "Go to the emergency." Well, we know what that's all about. So now we're back with that. In the meantime, we got a vacation scheduled. I got a speaker scheduled. I got people. We got a little bit of stress this week. That's why every day I got to get with Him. Casting your burdens on me. Casting all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. That's what I have to do. Otherwise, I'm going to walk around here like that picture. I don't have that much hair. Hmm? You're in the same boat. I don't know what your stresses are, but I know you have them. And you can carry them if you want to. You can be cumbered about. Be on the little wheel. You can jump off the wheel and sit at his feet. It's your choice. Father, thank you for Mary. Thank you for Martha. Lord, we're not trying to be critical of Martha. No doubt she's a good woman. She took care of people. She was covered about with hospitality. And Lord, none of that's wrong. But we learn from Mary that the most important thing, more than anything else, is sitting at your feet, learning to spend that time with you. Time to hear your voice, time to talk with you and fellowship with you, time to get your direction and wisdom. Lord, we need you. I pray for anybody in this room who doesn't have a daily time with you, that they'll see the need. They'll respond to you and your Holy Spirit, and they'll have a devotional time every day. And Lord, help us who do have devotional time to always draw closer. Listen more intently. Learn more from your word. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.